You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Today we're joined by content creator, motivational speaker and scuba diver, Jessica Peter. Jessica, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really, really do appreciate it.
So before we get into all the content creating and the scuba diving, can you tell us a wee bit about your sight loss, please?
My sight loss journey, shall we say, started around about the age of 11. I was diagnosed with a brain tumor. They said that I had to, you know, immediately get it removed. Otherwise, I had 6 to 12 months to live. I was booked in for surgery and the brain tumor was kind of sitting in the cross section of my optic nerves, and it had like applied pressure to my optic nerves. So once the tumor was removed, it kind of damaged my nerve to a point where I was left legally blind. So I have a condition called optic atrophy. So basically what my vision is my central vision is completely black, and it's almost like there's little pinpricks of light, like, and my peripheral vision or the outside, it's extremely blurry to the point where I have depth perception issues. I'm colorblind, so I can really see what's around me. So it can get interesting sometimes.
This all happens to you when you're 11. That's a really interesting age for all this to be going down, because you're just about to go into your teenage years as well. How does that impact you going into that phase of your life?
Well, that's the weird thing. When it all happened to me, it was almost like I was already kind of used to my new lack of vision, because it had happened so suddenly. And I think maybe it's also because I was so young, I didn't necessarily understand it to the fullest of its extent. But like, I kind of just got used to it really, really quickly and adapted my life to kind of carry on doing what I'm doing without it really messing with my life in general. So I just try to stay in my school, but it did obviously come with its challenges, because the students around me were all, you know, normal able-bodied kids, and they weren't properly educated about what, you know, came with my disability in its complexities, everything behind it. So it was a bit tricky because no one really understood the disability completely, but I kind of just tried to adapt activities, lifestyle, everything to just make sure that I could live my life as normal as possible, if we can put it that way.
So it sounds like that almost kind of led you to the path that you're on just now, of constantly raising awareness for living life being blind or partially sighted. Would you say that that's true and got you into the content creator world that you're now a part of?
I would say yes, it was a part of why I started the whole thing, because, you know, there was a lot of miscommunication, misunderstanding about my disability, you know, as someone who's considered blind. Disabilities in general is just so unknown, because it's such a touchy subject that not everybody wants to or feels comfortable talking about. So it kind of all built up to me doing the motivational speaking, and then eventually, you know, creating all my different social media platforms, the podcast, everything, to just share awareness and stuff like that. So I think it possibly did play a part in that.
So give us a wee bit of a flavor of what your podcast is like.
So my podcast, I'd started when I was back in high school. It was during the whole COVID phase. Everyone was shut down, locked up in their own homes, and I was kind of completely bored. So I invested in like a mic setup, and I kind of just thought, you know, I have something, let me use it. So I started the podcast about my experience as someone with low vision. So the whole podcast was basically about different experiences that I'd been through, as well as kind of moments in my life or stories that I told that was influenced by my disability or by people around me because of my disability. So it was mostly based on disabilities and things like that. But then eventually that led me to wanting to, you know, go a bit bigger. So then it led me to starting an Instagram account. And then eventually that went into a Facebook account, a TikTok account, eventually built up to my website. And then I started my motivational speaking.
Now, as well as all this, you're big, big into your scuba diving. You're not long back from Madagascar, and you're also an ambassador diver for Paddy. How did your love of scuba diving come about? And even logistically, as somebody with low vision, how do you go about navigating the depths of the ocean?
Everybody asks me this question and I laugh every single time, because scuba diving was literally never a part of what I thought I would be doing. When I was younger, I did come across people who did scuba diving, you know, just as a recreational sport for fun. But I'd always kind of thought about it as a seen sport. You know, people go down there to look at the coral, look at the beautiful fish. So it didn't really, you know, occur to me that maybe I could do it or it was possible. When it kind of came across for the opportunity of me starting scuba diving, I was like, okay, you know what? It could be interesting. Let me give it a try. It was actually an old friend of my mom's. She was trying to find people that would be interested in being a test subject almost for a new, I don't know what you would call it, but they were bringing in a new scuba diving training almost into South Africa. And it was all about scuba diving and making it accessible to people with all ability. When I heard of it, I was like, yes, I'll do it. I'll be the test subject. So when I went there, I didn't really know what to expect because I've obviously never done scuba diving before. But once I got in the water, put on the regulator, it was just, it's such an amazing feeling. It's so unreal. It's so unnatural, but natural at the same time. From that first breath that you kind of take in the water, you're just like, man, mind blown, I have to do this. So then one thing kind of led to another. And after that first time, just doing it in the pool for their, you know, being their test subject for this new adaptive course, Patty asked if I could help them create a documentary based on scuba diving with a disability. And then that had all led me to getting my scuba diving qualification. So it all kind of just flowed into one another. And I do not ever want to look back. Like, once you do scuba diving, you cannot stop. It's a weird addiction.
You've got your dive buddy Henry there as well. So how does he come into all this?
There's not many people who have qualified as adaptive dive buddies. That's what this course was. It was an adaptive diving techniques course for scuba diving. In general, it basically just means that they take the normal scuba diving method and they transform it into a way that is adaptable and accessible to people with different disabilities. So for me, as someone with a visual disability, we kind of transformed the signal language that scuba divers use underwater into tunnel hand signals. We just changed the form of how they talk to each other underwater so that I could still have a form of communication with my dive buddy. So Henry is the person that I dive with the most because I'm always with a specific dive center, the dive center that I did my qualification through. He's always on the trips that I go through. So we always, you know, have a discussion and a briefing before and after a dive to kind of talk about fish or coral or just like safety signals, whereby we have an easy form of communication. So whereas normal scuba divers have visual hand signals, the ones that I use are all tactile. So I can either feel them on my hand, on my arm, on my face even, asking if you're okay. A normal scuba diver signal, they show a hand signal to ask or say that they're okay. Whereas mine, my dive buddy will squeeze my hand, and then that will be their way of asking if I'm okay. And then I will signal them the normal way of saying I am okay, because they can obviously see the signal. And then in terms of navigating, my hand is always on top of my dive buddy's hand. When he wants me to turn left or right, he'll indicate it with his hand, either leaning it to the left or leaning it to the right. And then I know which direction we're going to start swimming. Otherwise, he'll put his other hand in front of my hand that's touching his other hand to say, like, stop, there's something in front of you. We'll just use all these different forms of tactile signals to indicate different types of fish, like a trumpet fish, for example. He'll tap my chin or something like that.
And that's it. As simple as that.
It's simple. Like, it gets creative, but it's pretty easy.
So what have you got coming up next in all the various different things that you do?
In terms of motivational speaking, a few people have come across my website and they've been asking me to go and do some talks. It's school talks, there's some companies, talks for Sea Scouts. So a lot is happening with my motivational speaking. Just in general, I just want to carry on spreading awareness, creating my weird, quirky videos on Instagram, because, you know, I find that sometimes a lot of weird, you know, embarrassing, awkward blind girl moments that show proper realistic ways of how my life goes on a daily basis kind of teaches people how disabilities really impact my life and others.
And if people want to see your weird and quirky videos, how can they find you on the old social media?
On my website, you can kind of access all my social medias. That's flyingblindsa.com. Otherwise, like my Instagram, x_flyingblind_x. My TikTok handle's the same. Facebook is Jesse Peter. And then, yeah, you can either email me or just check out my content.
Wow. Jessica Peter, thank you so much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you so much again for having me. It really is an honor.